So we're going to read some verses from Romans 16. So we're almost at the end of Romans. So not quite, but almost. So this is Romans 16, and we're going to read verses 17 to 20. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good, and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I just felt that it was no coincidence that Simon was here last week, and with the things that he was sharing with us, just about the importance of being rooted, the importance of being rooted, the importance of foundation in our lives. And his first point was that our foundations or our roots are vitally important, and that, you know, we can spend a lot of effort working on the outward things, but if the roots aren't right, then ultimately that it won't work. It's not going to make any difference. And the second point was that without being rooted or planted where God wants us to be, that we won't get all of the nutrients and the things that are necessary for us to grow. So we need the foundations, we need the roots in order to have right lives, and we need to be planted in the right place so that we get all of the things that we need. And you may say, well, what's that got to do with Romans 16? Well, Paul's talking here about the dangers of false teachers and the divisions that they cause. And, you know, if we're going to be able to avoid those kind of pitfalls, we need sure foundations. We need to be rooted. We need to know where we stand. We need to know what we believe. And there's a story that my dad told many years ago about a minister was talking to a man, and he said to him, what do you believe? And he said, well, I believe what the church teaches. So what does the church teach? The church teaches what I believe. And that kind of woolly thinking won't do it. So we need to know where we stand. We need to know that we're saved. We need to know that Jesus is Lord. We need to know that we're forgiven and that we stand by grace in his presence. We need to know those things. They need to be part of who we are and what we are. And at the time that Paul wrote this letter, there were two main false teachings that were affecting the church. The first one was that in order to be truly right with God, you also had to keep all of the Jewish law as well, and all of the things that went along with that. And Paul's letter to the Galatians was really just dealing with that problem. And he said, so in the beginning of Galatians 1, verses 6 to 7, he says this: I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. We need to know what we believe. We need to know what the gospel is. We need to know that we stand by grace and not by anything that we've done. It's like Janice was praying about this morning. And then the second of these sort of false teachings that was going on at that time was something that was referred to as Gnosticism. And this was a teaching that there is some special, secret, hidden knowledge that you've not been told about. But these people who were going around were saying, we can introduce you to this special stuff that's been hidden from you. and we can help you to understand it. And the people who propounded these kind of thoughts, they believed that when Jesus lived on earth, he had no physical body, that he was just here as a spirit. And they also believed that the spirit was all that mattered, and that anything that you did in the body was irrelevant. So basically, you could do anything you like, because what happens physically is unimportant. It was only the spirit that mattered. And Paul made reference to this too in his letter to Jude. So in verse 4 of Jude, he says, "For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." So they were saying, you can do what you like. And Paul's saying, no, that's not the truth. That if you are born again, if you're saved, if you're walking with God, you're not going to do what you like. You're going to do what he likes and live a righteous life. And, you know, both of these ideas are actually still around today in various forms. So the first one is that you have to do certain extra things in order to earn God's grace. And that repentance in faith in Jesus is not enough, that there has to be something else as well that you need to do on top of that. And the second one is the idea that you can do anything you like because God will forgive you. God's gracious. And he's not really concerned about your actions. And that's not true. God is definitely concerned about our actions. He wants our actions to be things which are honoring to him, things which bring him glory, and things which are going to help to promote the kingdom and all that he has for us. So you might think, well, okay, yes, there's all of this stuff going on out there. There's all these false teachings and that, but I don't have to worry about that. The church leaders will deal with all of that. And well, that's partly true. You know, if we invite somebody to come in and speak to the church, we want to know that they're going to speak truth. We want to know that anything that is shared is going to be good, solid, biblically founded teaching. But, you know, Paul didn't just write his letter to the church leaders in Rome. He wrote it to the church in Rome. He wrote it to all of them. He says, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters." That's everybody. "I appeal to you to watch out, to watch out." And, you know, very often false teaching, it won't come from the pulpit. It will come in conversations with people. Also with, seemingly nice people. People who just seem to be, you know, nice, friendly, jolly good people. And Paul talks about that in this passage here. He says that these people use smooth talk and flattery. And they say things that sound plausible, things that sound right. And, you know, there's a couple of figures in church history that just sort of help to illustrate this point. Back in the late 200s to early 300s AD, there was a man called Arius. And then in the 16th century, another man called Socinus. And both of these men denied the deity of Jesus. But they both gained large followings. So people followed them. They listened to what they said. They listened to their teachings. And Arius, the first one, he's been described as a very morally upright man. A bright, energetic, attractive fellow, an immensely popular man. And Socinus, he's described like this. He was a gentleman. His morals were above reproach, and he distinguished himself by his unfailing courtesy. Nice people. But what they were saying wasn't true. What they were saying wasn't the word of God. It was something else that was drawing people away. And, you know, that really underlines for us the importance of our foundations. We need to know We need to know what we believe. We need to know the truth of God's word. And we need to be rooted in a company of believers who are going to watch out for us. Because this is about family. It's about church. It's about the body of Christ. That, you know, we're watching out for each other. That we're standing with each other. That we're coming together. We're praying for each other. And, you know, not all divisions in the church come from false teaching. Sometimes they come from having an overemphasis on one particular point to the exclusion of everything else. Now, I don't, you've probably met people like that. I certainly have, that, you know, they only want to talk about one thing and everything else is utterly unimportant to them. And if you don't go along with them, then they don't want anything to do with you. And, you know, they will say that everyone who doesn't have the same view as them is not a real Christian. And, you know, ironically, one of the biggest problems comes when someone takes it upon themselves to point out where everybody else is wrong. Yeah, and there are a lot of people now who have set up so-called ministries whose only aim is not to build up the body of Christ, but to tear down people that they don't agree with. That's not church. That's not the body of Christ. That's not family. There may be things that we don't agree with, but there are ways to deal with that. And Paul's talked about that earlier in the book. But, you know, there's a sentence in this passage that, just, I think, really lies at the heart of what I wanted to say today. And it's this: I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. And that's where my title came from this morning: wisdom and innocence. Paul says something similar to that in his first letter to the Corinthian church. But it actually comes from Jesus. He was the one who said it first. Matthew 10 and verse 16, Jesus says this: "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." Wise as serpents and innocent as doves. So how do we gain this wisdom in what is good? Well, all that is good comes from God. Okay. All that's good comes from God. Yeah? So as we get to know Him better, as we just find out more about Him, more about His character, more about who He is, more about all of the expressions of who He is, as we get to know Him, then we can gain that right kind of wisdom, because we'll have a right view of creation and of everything that's going on. So how do we get to know Him? Yeah. So we spend time with Him. We pray. We read the Bible. And that's how we get to know Him. You know, this book contains everything we need to know about God. It's all in there. Yeah. And I know that sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's hard going, particularly if you're in Numbers or somewhere like that. Or, Lamentations. Yeah. It can all get a bit difficult. But I just really want to encourage you that it's all in there. And, you know, even if you only read a few words a day, just a couple of verses or something, God can speak to you through that. God can plant something in your heart through that. You don't have to spend an hour poring over things and studying stuff and looking up different things. Well, you can if you want to. That's great. But you don't have to do that. Just take some time to let Him put something in your heart. And there's all kinds of great Bible study helps. And we've got some of the things on the table, the daily bread, something like that. You can just read a few verses and there'll be a bit of explanation about it there. All of those things are really good. That's what I do. I don't use daily bread, but I'm working my way through the whole of the New Testament. And you just read a section, and then there's some information about that and talking about it and explaining what it means. It's good to do that because it gets the word into our hearts. And if it's in our hearts, that becomes our foundation. That becomes something that can be built upon. It becomes something that we can stand on, something that we can hold on to, something that's sure. There's a line in Psalm 19, and it says, "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise simple." The testimony, or the word of the Lord, is sure, making wise the simple. And that word simple, it just means somebody who is easily led, somebody who is suggestible. In the passage we've just read in Romans, Paul uses the word naive in the translation we've just read here this morning. That being rooted in God's word makes us wise. It gives us a sure foundation so that we won't get led astray by the smooth words of the deceiver. And the other side of this idea is the thought about being innocent concerning evil. So he says, be wise in what is good and innocent as to what is evil. We don't need to focus on what's wrong. There's all kinds of things that are wrong. We can see that. We get bombarded with it every day. But we don't need to focus on what's wrong. We need to focus on what is right, on what is good. Whatever is good, whatever is right. I can't remember all the rest of it. But think about these things. Focus on these things. And in the J.B. Phillips translation of that verse, he says it like this. We've got that one there. I want to see you experts in good and not even beginners in evil. I thought that was good. That's a nice way to put it. I want to see you experts in good and not even beginners in evil. Don't go down that route. Don't even start going that way. So how does Paul say that we should act with these kinds of people, these people that are coming in and bringing false teachings? Does he say that they should be denounced from the pulpit? No. Does he say that we should attack their beliefs? No. He just says we should avoid them. Just avoid them. Don't give them an audience. And it doesn't mean that we should be rude to people or ostracize them or anything like that. But don't get entangled with them. Don't get into those kind of conversations. Don't spend time listening to something that is not going to build up and is not going to bear fruit. And Paul says also that the obedience of the Roman Christians was well known. They were known for their adherence to the apostles' teaching. And they were known that they held on to their faith in Jesus. And he rejoiced in that. He said, this is wonderful. I'm really rejoicing in the fact that you're holding on to all of these things. So now he says, continue in that obedience. Be wise as to what is good, innocent as to what is evil, and avoid those who cause divisions. And if you do that, he says, this is the good bit, if you do that, then the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. This is the only time in the book of Romans that Satan gets mentioned. And it's a real good mention, isn't it? God's going to crush him under your feet. He is a defeated foe. He's still trying, he's still fighting, he's still throwing stuff out, but he is a defeated foe. And if we're obedient to the word of God, if we hold on to him, if we hold on to our faith in Jesus, if we make sure we've got those foundations in our lives, the God of peace will crush Satan under our feet. No matter how hard he tries to sow division in the church. No matter how many false ideas he tries to throw out. God will fight for us. And then right at the end of the passage, there's a reminder, something that occurs in almost all of Paul's letters. And it's the reminder that it's all by God's grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for your word. Thank you that we have something solid that we can hold on to. Thank you that we have a sure foundation. Thank you that you have given that to us. Thank you that we can rejoice in that. Thank you that we can hold on to that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here with us, that you're within us to remind us of all of the things that we've read and heard in the past, that you bring those things back to our minds when we need them. So, Lord, we just pray this morning. Pray that you'll give us discernment. Pray that you'll give us wisdom in terms of those things that are good, and innocence in terms of those things that are evil. We will stay away from them. Lord, we just want to thank you for the unity of the body of Christ. Thank you for the love of the family. Thank you for the bonds that we have together as your church, as your people. And Lord, we want to protect those things. We want to keep them solid and secure. So Lord, we just ask that you will be with us. Thank you that you've said that as we continue in your ways, as we're obedient to your words, that you will deal with the enemy, that you will crush Satan under our feet. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you that we can be secure in that. Thank you that we can hold on to you. Thank you that you are at work in our lives. And Holy Spirit, we just pray that you will speak to us. Pray that you'll speak to us every day. There'll be something more that we'll learn about you, something more that we'll know of who you are and of your nature and of your goodness. And there'll be things there that we can hold on to, things that we can rejoice in, things that will build up and not destroy. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.